lockdowns, lest we forget. Special powers don't go away easily. They are not temporary, and they will not be surrendered. Everything we give the government our permission to do, they will do for the foreseeable. It was 4 years ago on Sunday in March 2020 that Boris Johnson declared a lockdown would be implemented, stopping people from gathering, shutting down schools, preventing businesses from opening, stopping travel, in order, of course, to slow the spread of the virus. Now, most governments across the globe acted in lockstep to pursue these authoritarian or rather dystopian policies in response to COVID. Now, this created the single most significant blanket interference to our collective and individual liberties that we have seen in modern times, locking us down, putting populations on house arrest, social distancing, closing schools, shutting businesses, sealing borders shut, banning gatherings, and enforcing various mandates, from mask mandates to vaccine mandates, and millions of people around the world were forced to live in these conditions to protect against a virus that only ever posed a very serious threat to a small minority of people. Now, this was clear, believe it or not, in the data from the very outset. So what went wrong? How is it that we were locked down, shut in, and had our human rights eroded? Meanwhile, the governments amassed greater powers. Our livelihoods were destroyed. The well-being of our citizens and the economy were devastated due to these fear-based, disproportional responses to the virus. We were kept in isolation. We were prevented from spending time with our loved ones, our family, and our friends. We missed seeing young ones grow up. We were prevented from taking care of our elderly family members. We couldn't say goodbye to those who has sadly left us. We were unable to socialize, hug our friends, celebrate special occasions, or even attend funerals. The economy was forced to the brink. Trillions have been added to national debts, and millions of workers were furloughed or laid off. Now, businesses that were forced to close during lockdowns, many have ceased since to trade, and the economic conditions we find ourselves in today are a result, in part, to the money printing during lockdowns. The healthcare system, as we know, was practically shut down to everything but COVID-19, leading to delayed diagnosis, treatment of major health conditions, and the consequences, as we see, are still being felt today. We'll talk more about that in a minute, the excess death figures. Mental health problems and suicides greatly increased during the lockdowns, and subsequent to the lockdowns, we saw domestic violence reaching astronomical levels, and our children's futures have been damaged by the severe disruption to the education system. The students who had their degrees and education sabotage, all for a virus where the vast majority of people would only ever experience mild to moderate symptoms at the very worst. But we couldn't just let it rip now, could we? That phrase that was thrown around or bandied around in Parliament. No, 2 weeks to flatten the curve became a myopic stop COVID at all costs. These were all supposed to be short-term measures, but emergency powers given to governments and health officials soon became diktats that extended into a long-term expansion of official power, which became a full license to deceive the public and resulting in massive state overreach. Now, the lockdowns and other measures, they never worked. They never would have worked. They caused more harm than they ever could have done in terms of benefit. Now, there are hundreds of papers that just now demonstrate this, and almost all of the data shows that our dear friends across the border in Sweden got it absolutely right. Sweden's constitution actually guarantees the liberty of the Swedes to move freely within the realm of their nation and prohibits severe lockdowns like we saw in the United Kingdom and other parts of the world. And unlike other nations who are willing to sacrifice their principles in the name of garnering more political power, Sweden actually upheld and followed its constitution during COVID. And as a result, the Swedes, despite having no lockdowns, ended up with one of the lowest excess death rates in the world. Now, get this. A recent report said a much wiser strategy than issuing lockdowns would have been to tell people the truth. Imagine that, my friends. Stick to the facts, educate citizens about the balance of risks, and let individuals make their own informed decisions. No, we were not treated like adults. We were treated like a herd during COVID, but certainly herd immunity was not a thing that we were going to be exposed to. Now, as a result, most of us are now living with the consequences of lockdowns and all the other crazy measures that likely killed more people than they saved. Look at the excess deaths we are facing now. If you want any further evidence, the global rise is almost certainly attributable to both the consequences of the pharmaceutical interventions and the non-pharmaceutical interventions that were taken during the course of COVID and the pandemic response. Plus, the narrative that most of the hospitals were overrun by the surge of COVID cases was in large cases simply false. Almost any measure of hospital utilization was at a historical low throughout the pandemic period, even though we had all these headlines that our hospitals were full to the brim, overwhelmed. The reality is it was the policies that put the workers under so much pressure. You know, if they tested positive, no symptoms at all, they had to go home. The crazy the protocols they had to follow in order to keep people safe. The reality is the fear-based public health messaging is what led to people missing out on routine diagnoses and medical procedures because the hospitals were shutting down around this. People self-selected to not visit hospitals out of fear. And all of these will play a contributing factor to the sharp increase in non-COVID excess deaths because people simply didn't have access to the treatments and the screenings. And access to healthcare continues to be affected to today. Waiting lists are out of control. It's impossible to get an appointment with your doctor, which means that people still don't have access to the kind of routine appointments they need to monitor their health. Plus, we know that high potential drugs like ivermectin and others were suppressed in the name of profit. People's lives could have been saved, but a single-minded, perhaps psychotic vaccine campaign washed away any hope of getting repurposed drugs approved. And of course, as we know then, and we definitely know now, government and health officials collaborated with big tech, oligarchs, news media, corporations, and even scientific journals to suppress and censor critical views on COVID and the pandemic response. Now, those who've had the courage to speak up, including many doctors and scientists and media outlets and people like myself, were blocked, digitally censored and smeared, and many have gone on to lose their jobs for their actions. Now, our freedom of speech and our right to express ourselves was violated in ways that we could not have ever imagined. And now, our right to privacy has been compromised by the emergent surveillance state that began during COVID and continues to grow momentum. And the public health establishment is fashioned in the authoritarian model of the state that began during COVID. Now, the fear that was intentionally stoked and amplified, which overlaid enormous social, economic, educational, and health harms upon our society, have permeated every part of our life. And the worst part is that our children were the hardest hit. A recent study, the most comprehensive study of its kind, found that teenage boys were the hardest hit during COVID lockdowns, with their mental health failing to recover despite the return to normality. The study found that while both sexes had an immediate decline in their mental health, it was boys that did not experience a natural improvement in mental well-being that usually comes with maturation into the teenage years. So we literally have people who have had their growth, their mental, psychological, emotional growth stunted. Not only this, babies and children appear to have suffered developmental setbacks due to lengthy periods of isolation. Even after the newborns left the socially distanced hospital wards, family members, grandparents were kept at an arm's length or even further away. Playgroups and playgrounds were shut. Nurseries were closed down. Interactions with other children were limited. And even when children did get the chance to be around other humans, most of the faces they saw were partially covered by masks. We wouldn't know the long-term consequences. We won't know the long-term consequences of these things for years to come. But it's clear the kids have been hit hardest. And what's more, not only has people's livelihoods been impacted, people have been impacted dramatically financially. Billions are worse off thanks to the relentless money printing and the subsequent inflation. The world over, hundreds of millions of people have been plunged into extreme poverty by so-called anti-COVID measures. Lockdowns doubled global child poverty. Again, children feeling it from every angle. Drugs, depression, suicide, all up. Prosperity, happiness, freedom, down. But sadly, this is not the story that most will remember because of the way that the government and the media cooperated to manipulate and psychologically influence people by misrepresenting the facts to keep people suppressed in fear. Let us not forget the behavioral science campaigns, the nudge campaigns, and everything else that happened to keep people compliant in compliance. Now, despite all of the scientific evidence now available that shows that COVID never was the all-encompassing deadly virus that people were led to believe, lockdown, school closures, and mandates were catastrophic errors pushed by remarkable further by public health authorities at all levels. All signs show that governments and health authorities have not only failed to acknowledge the error of their ways, but they are likely to use the same techniques and templates all over again, because now they know they can get away with it. Everything from the Orwellian police raids for private actions on one's own private property to the increasing snitch culture and the promoting of fear and resentment of your neighbors not only became normalized during COVID, but actively encouraged. COVID was a test, and sadly, most people failed. But fortunately, some of us will never forget. And this time, or next time, we will be ready. For those of you who will not comply, we invite you to join us over at freehumanity.org, where we're building a global freedom movement to continue to fight the issues that have stemmed since COVID-19, including the forthcoming World Health Organization pandemic treaty and international health regulations. We're organizing and co-organizing a fascinating campaign and convoy to tackle the issues that are emerging through the WHO and more. So head to freehumanity.org if you'd like to join us. My name is Dennison Gregory. Thank you for tuning in today, and I'll see you again very soon. This has been Lockdowns, Lest We Forget. Let's make sure that we don't.